Paul in Romans 11 is struggling with what he calls a mystery. Why is it that the Jews, or at least so few of the Jews, believed in Jesus? As John puts it in his gospel, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not know him. It is strange that those who should have believed in him didn't, whereas those that you would not expect to believe in him did. But Paul shows throughout this chapter that this mystery is part of the unsearchable wisdom of God. The unbelief of the Jews would lead to the belief of the Gentiles, and the gathering in of the Gentiles will lead to the gathering in of the Jews, so that through the stumbling of the Jews, salvation would come to the entire world. And in the fullness of time, God would raise them up again. But the great danger here, and the one that Paul focuses on in our reading, is how prone we are to misunderstand this, to fall into arrogance and pride, to misunderstand why it is that we have been brought in, and to not see why we stand even as they fall. Paul uses the picture in this reading of two olive trees, one of which is in an orchard and the other which is out wild in the field. The one in the orchard, he says, is Israel. It's well taken care of, it's tended, it's producing many fruits. And the reason why it's this one is because they are the ones to whom the promises first came. They are the ones to whom the word of God first came. They are the ones from whom the prophets came. And they are the ones from whom Jesus, according to the flesh, has also come. As Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John, salvation is from the Jews. And so you can think of this tree in this orchard, this cultivated olive tree, as having a deep root. And this root is the patriarchs and the promises. This root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This root is the promise that through Abraham, blessing would come to the entire world through Jesus Christ. And this tree from this root has produced many branches, the many natural descendants of Abraham, because God also promised that Abraham's offspring would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And through Isaac came a mighty nation. And on the other hand, you have this other tree out in the wild. This tree is a picture of the Gentiles, people who did not have the law or the promises, those that did not know God and who were left to walk in their own ways until Christ had come. In other words, you and me. This tree is also full of branches, but these branches are not like the branches of the tree in the orchard. These branches are withered and dried, practically dead, producing no fruit at all, because apart from faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. But now something strange has happened, Paul says. The natural branches of the tree, the cultivated tree, have been broken off. And the branches of the dead tree have been grafted in, the very opposite of what we might expect to happen. In Jesus Christ, the branches of the wild tree have found salvation. But the branches of the natural branches of the cultivated tree have been left to wither and die. the Gentiles have become the heir of the promises to Israel. But why were they cut off? Why have the Gentiles been grafted in? Paul says in verse 20, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. Faith is what makes the difference. Those who did not have faith have been broken off, and those who do have faith have been grafted in. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we are part of that cultivated tree, that we are part of the promises of God. And even this faith that we have is a gift. It's not something that you did on your own. You did not choose God, but God chose you and made you an heir of heaven. You who were once formerly a dead and fruitless branch have been made part of this tree by faith in Jesus Christ to bear fruit for God. But this truth, Christians, should not lead you into pride, as if you deserve somehow to be here. It should not lead you to think that because you have been grafted in, you are somehow superior to the branches that were broken off. If the grace of God leads you to boast in yourself, you have not understood that grace. And it will lead you to fall right back into the very same unbelief that led the Jews to be broken off in the first place. As Paul says again, starting in verse 20, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. If we think that we are here by right, if we think that we are here because we somehow deserve it, it is the very same sin that led Israel to reject Jesus in the first place, because they thought of themselves as the true sons of Abraham. They thought of themselves as the heirs of heaven by default. It's just who they were. But the kingdom of God is not about who you are in yourself. The kingdom of God is about what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, his Son. And those who call on Jesus by faith will be saved. The moment that I forget that, the moment that I think that I am here because of who I am, I will be cut off from the tree. And Christians, this attitude is not just about how we feel towards the Jews in particular. It could be talking about our attitude towards all unbelievers. Does the thought of being a Christian lead you to feel pride over someone else? I thank God I'm not like other men. Sinners, unjust, extortioners, or even like those sinners out there? Or do we say, thank God I'm a Lutheran. Thank God I know what the pure doctrine is. Thank God I know what is right. And yet the thought of all those idiots and heretics out there fills me with rage and anger. Or does even the thought of those who do not know God leave you feeling indifferent, that you just don't care whether this person believes in Jesus Christ? You just don't care whether they're going to heaven or not. All that really matters is me. Pride is always a very real danger. And pride will lead us to misunderstand why we are here at all. I'm sure you know the saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." But do you know where it comes from? Well, it's attributed to a man named John Bradford. John Bradford was a Christian who was martyred in England in 1555 under the reign of Bloody Mary. And it's said that whenever he would see a prisoner being led off to be hanged, a prisoner going off to his judgment, he would say, "There but for the grace of God go I." And he didn't mean by it, you know, thank God it's them and not me, as if, phew, I got out of it this time. But rather what he meant was a deep humility. He recognized that he was where he was because of God. And he recognized that it was only by the grace of God that he had not gone down the same path of destruction. And Christians, the thought of God's grace towards us in Jesus Christ should lead us to the same kind of humility. To see that if I am here by the grace of God alone. It is a gift that I did not deserve. And that humility will not lead me into pride and contempt for others. That humility will lead me to mercy and a desire for their salvation, a desire that they too would come to know Jesus Christ and live. As Paul says in verse 23, "And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again." The Jews had been cut off because of their unbelief, yes. But if they come to believe in Jesus Christ, they will be grafted right back in again. If they believe, God will attach them to the tree once more. Because God's tree of mercy is not limited to a certain number of spots, Christians, as if it's a first-come, first-serve kind of thing. The tree of God's mercy has all kinds of room for all those who repent and believe. And God is willing to bring them right back in again when they believe in his Son. Because all who call on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. So why then should we be silent? Let us speak about the love of God to all. Why then should we be angry? Let us say to those around us, "Come, I will show you a still more excellent way." Why should we be proud? Let us say, "You too, come and see. You too, come and taste that the Lord is good. You too, come and hear what Christ has done for you, so that you too may know the love of God that he has shown to me. Come and find rest in Jesus. Come to the feast that God has prepared. Come with me so that together we may enter into the joys of heaven. Come, friend, to Jesus so that you too may be saved." Let us pray. Lord God, who has promised mercy to all who believe in your Son, do not let us fall into arrogance and pride, but to humbly proclaim your gospel to all, so that together with them we may enter into your glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.